This podcast contains explicit material. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another mini text episode of The Joy of Text. I'm here with Dr. Batsheva Marcus, clinical director at Mays Women's Health, and Rabbi Dov Linzer, head of Yeshiva Chovevei Torah Rabbinical School. So today we're going to talk about a text that deals with what happens when you have sex for the first time on Shabbat. So
yes,
Rabbi Linzer.
This is a text at the beginning of Ketubot, and one of the reasons I chose this was because this is learned by 10th grade boys everywhere, you know, in yeshivot, maybe 11th grade, maybe 9th grade. And it's fascinating to know that this is sort of a standard fare of what is being taught. So here's what the Gemara says. I'll just read the beginning in the Hebrew. Ibayilu, mau livo b'tchila b'shabbat. So they ask the question, can a husband and wife, if the woman is a virgin, have intercourse for the first time on Shabbat, because the act of intercourse ruptures the hymen and there's bleeding. So the Gemara continues and it says, here's the question. Is the hymenal blood stored up, or is it or does it come as a result of a wound? If you're making a wound, it's forbidden. If somehow there's like blood right behind the hymen and you're just letting it out, but it's not making a wound, it wouldn't be a problem. And if you say that the blood is stored up, which solves that problem, is he concerned about the blood and it's allowed because he wants to see if his wife is a virgin, so he's interested in seeing that there's blood? Or is he concerned with the opening? Actually, he's trying to break the hymen so that it'll be easier to have sex, you know, from there that point on. And therefore, it's forbidden because it's like he made something. He made an opening in his wife. And if you say he's concerned with the blood.
Kind of like opening a Coke bottle, right?
Exactly.
Like, you take the lid off a Coke bottle, you now have turned it into a vessel. So you just did it with your wife.
Exactly. Okay, and using the vessel analogy, the Talmud speaks about like how a woman is particularly connected to her first husband because it says a woman makes a covenant with the man who made her into a vessel. So if you wanted a more explicit statement about that. And if you'll say he's concerned with the blood and the opening comes by itself, so he really wasn't trying, he wasn't focusing on that. But is the halacha with like Rabbi Shimon, who says, since you didn't intend it, it's okay, even though you made an opening? Or is it according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, if it wasn't intended, it's still forbidden? And if you say it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, so okay, you didn't intend to make the opening, but you did it, maybe it's considered a damage in regard to the opening because, you know, it's sort of, it's ruining her virginal state. Or does he improve regarding the opening? So completely, you know, all of the technical types of discussions about Shabbat, eino mitkaven, you're not intending, what are you focusing on? Is it making it better? Is it making it worse? The woman is, you know, absent pretty much from this text, and it's, you know, just applying this technical lens to it.
Honestly, what's bothering me most about this text, yes, and this is a text I've obviously seen before, is that, because I never occurred to me before how early it's introduced to boys.
That was my point.
That is taught.
This is a classic high school Gemara that is learned.
And that is so problematic to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just such a bad, it has so many bad messages in it.
Mm-hmm.
And how they think about sex and how they think about women. Like, you know, they're not thinking about her pleasure, hurting her, feeling good. They're only thinking about, am I turning into a vessel? Am I not?
Right.
Is she going to bleed? Am I not?
Right. I mean, I guess, so what bothers me more, look, I understand, you know, the Talmud has to do this. The Talmud talks about, you know, if I make a pinprick in my finger, is it wounding,
yes,
is it whatever? But still, here you have an activity by two people, she's a subject to it, and, you know, she's being sort of completely objectified here in this whole discussion, which sometimes is necessary in the halachic discussion, but...
Why is this taught to... Is it ketubah?
Because
I feel like brachot is always taught.
Well, I guess it depends which high school you're going to. I mean, in the more yeshivish ones, ketubah is like a good class... They don't teach it because of this.
No, I understand
that. They teach it because there's like really good, dense, you know, challenging, relevant, you know, sort of shas sugyas are in ketubah.
Right, and also a lot of ideas. Like,
right, just look right here. Here,
right,
like, you know, all these ideas,
right.
Are you intending, not intending, making a vessel, making whatever, if it weren't about a woman and, you know, whatever,
right,
it would
be
a very rich text,
material.
A very layered,
yeah,
text. But my question is, you know, how damaging is it really? Like, that's sort of the question I wanted to raise, because I think like all the other messages we get about, you know, masturbation and all the guilt that goes around with that, and like, you know, about the texts that say you're not supposed to get any pleasure in sex, you know, again, those are some texts. Obviously, there's clearly very different texts, but somehow often the message that people hear is all the negative, right? And we've discussed that before. So I really wonder how much, you know, this just becomes this abstract conceptual discussion of, are you like opening a box?
I know,
what are you intending?
I don't think that's good. You know,
right.
It's so funny because I'm always the one who's like, I roll my eyes when people talk about the Gemara being insensitive to women. I mean, I know that the Gemara is often insensitive to women. It was written by men. It's very halachic. Mm-hmm. It's very, like, I really don't get worked up about it at all. But I do think that teaching this to a 14-year-old boy as one of the first real conversations you're having about having sex, mm-hmm. it cannot be a good thing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But there's also, to take the flip side of that, there's something refreshing maybe about how casual isn't the right word, but I'm going to just say that casually it's talking about sex as if it's just another activity mundane. That is, you know, part of the halachic discourse
and,
you know, treating it, meaning it's not taboo here.
That's interesting. Like, it's right, just as normal as things people do, as opening bottles on Shabbat.
Right.
Right. But then there's also something that's disturbing yes. about comparing it to that right. same kind of mundane behavior.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah, no, honestly, I've, you know, as I said, I've seen this text before. It never really right. occurred to me that young boys were learning this text. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in some ways this is more dangerous than texts that are obviously
because it's more insidious.
Anti-women. Right, because it's like, it is very insidious.
But what do you think happens? Like, so here this boy, he sees, after he learns this Gemara, he sees a woman he's attracted to. Now he's looking at her at a as a vessel.
I don't think it's
5 years, 10 years later, he's having sex with his wife and he's looking at her as a vessel.
No, I don't think it's anything that linear. It's just like, it's kind of a demeaning way to talk about women, you know, like
men also be scary.
Yes,
bleeding
for sure, scary, right? You know, you put your penis in, it rips, blood comes out. You're gonna hurt her. You're gonna hurt her because of the blood. You're worried about the sheets. Mm-hmm. You're not worried. Like, it's just such a kind of not genteel way, and certainly not lovely.
Right. What about making it a way of talking about it that's safe? Meaning this gives me, as a 14-year-old boy, license to spend 6 hours a day talking about sex.
But is you're not talking about sex. You're talking about vessels and blood and hymens and ribs.
I mean, I would imagine there's a lot of snickering that goes on when this is taught.
You don't snicker, you get slapped.
But I mean, in your experience, is there any discussion about the topic when this is presented?
What was the last time you taught this to 12-year-old boys?
Yeah, never. Like, I mean, I think that if a Rebbe is really good, like he would say, like, you know, obviously, you know, he would preface it.
Yeah. You know, Dov, it's a great idea. Like, for a BAM to actually use this text and use it as a springboard for discussing sex would be, I think, wonderful. It would probably involve some training so that they knew what they had to say and how to field questions, and also so that they consciously went into it with that idea and were very comfortable doing it, because, you know, as I've said, it's hard when you're not comfortable. But the idea of using this text as an opening and a springboard for conversations for teenage boys about sex, I think it's a fabulous idea, and it's something we should really think about, you know, suggesting to Yeshivot.
Anyone listening has any thoughts about this? Or if you learned this in school and, you know, what was your reaction? That would be interesting. Send us your comments at www.thejoyoftext.org. I guess we'll wrap this up now.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
For this edifying discussion.
Great.
Take care.
Okay.
If you have questions or comments for The Joy of Text, you can contact us anonymously at thejoyoftext.org or send a regular email to joyoftextpodcast@gmail.com. This episode of The Joy of Text was recorded by Mike Hurst and produced and edited by Rebecca Honig-Friedman. You can listen and subscribe to The Joy of Text on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or any podcast app. And keep up to date with the latest news by following us on Facebook or Twitter. Show your support by giving us a positive rating and spreading the word about The Joy of Text. Thanks for listening.